Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Angela Kaufman. We're going to be discussing empowerment through aligning our energy with archetypal energy and the elements in nature. Welcome, Angela. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Would you like to give the listening audience a little bit about your background? And if you remember the book we discussed at the previous Temple of Health, it's on the archives that they can access through www.plasticos.com.
Oh, sure. So my background kind of goes from two different pathways that have merged. So one is a professional background in social work, where I was helping people, mainly people with addictions, people with mental health issues. But I've always had an interest in spirituality, metaphysical practices, nature, the elements, that kind of thing, and tarot. And so I merged those two now as an empowerment coach. I've also got a new book out called Queen Up, Reclaim Your Crown When Life Knocks You Down, Unleash the Power of Your Inner Tarot Queen. And so that's really a system of using the tarot queens to personify the elemental archetypal energies that we can align ourselves with for transformation and empowerment.
I think one of the spiritual disciplines says that we go through many lifetimes, and we, I guess, each phase that we go through, we act out a certain archetypal energy, or we experience a certain archetypal energy. Have you heard that theory?
You know, I haven't heard it put as one specific archetypal energy. I know there are different systems that are closely linked, well, pretty much are archetypal energies. For example, you know, if you think of astrology, whatever your astrological chart shows is sort of an arrangement of the archetypal energies. And we could say that the sun sign, because the sun is connected to the ego, in that belief system, that the sun sign is the archetype that you're most closely tied in with for that lifetime. The way that I look at it is that there are a blend of archetypal energies, and even the entire tarot deck, which traditionally is 78 cards, those are 78 different archetypes. And so as we go through life, we can embody numerous, although I do believe we have sort of our dominant strengths or our dominant archetype. For example, some people might have a lot of warrior archetypal energy, so even when they're put in positions of being nurturing or that kind of thing, the warrior is kind of their go-to energy. So so I'm not surprised that some schools have thought about there being like one per lifetime. But I see it as we have the opportunity to connect with various archetypes as we go through even one lifetime transitions.
Yeah, I would say that was true, too. I wouldn't say it's like one archetype per lifetime. But, you know, there's a lot of different, as like when you look at the goddess energy, you know, at first you're the child, and then you become the maiden, and then you become the matriarch, the mother, and then later on the wise woman. And each of those has an archetype, you know, the different energies as you go through life. But I think eventually, though, we do cycle around and experience most of the archetypes in various lifetimes.
Absolutely, yes, and that's a great point, because sometimes when we look at our, particularly in our relationships, we tend to think that, like from my standpoint, I'm right about certain things and the other person is wrong. But I think if we look at it in an archetypal way, what's the energy I'm bringing to the table? What's the energy they're bringing to the table? It's not about right and wrong. It's about maybe that person is the trickster who's come to challenge us. Maybe they might seem like they're playing a villain type of role, but again, how are they coming in to teach us, to refine us, to challenge us? And I do believe that, yeah, that's part of how I see karma working, is that at some point the shoe goes on the other foot, and we get to experience for ourselves what it's like to be that person that maybe we held judgments against when we were in a different role.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you would never learn discernment if you didn't have the, you know, the unethical and, you know, people in your lifetime that were trying to trick you.
Right.
And discernment's very, very important to learn. And you can't, mm-hmm. you probably can't learn it in the higher planes where there isn't a lot of deception.
Right, that's a really good point, yes. And even, you know, in some stories and some myths, the trickster isn't necessarily, you know, like we kind of think of that as like the bad person or the villain,
mm-hmm.
But in some cases the trickster is the hero that is just, you know, right, like helping you develop discernment, helping you prove to yourself what you're really made of
mm-hmm.
by seeing what are you willing to stick with, how much are you willing to sacrifice your own integrity, or are you not willing to sacrifice that? And or by just simply bringing a lesson of, hey, don't take yourself so seriously, by shaking things up and being a catalyst and forcing us to adapt to change.
Right. So talk about some of the major archetypal energies that people are all familiar with. There's certain ones that I think everyone's familiar with, and then maybe some of the ones that people aren't so familiar with.
Sure. Well, there's many different archetypes, and different cultures might call them different things. So one way to really easily recognize them is to look at any, like, long-time, long-standing, long-enduring myth or story, even right down to, like, some of the pop culture relatively recent. I usually use Harry Potter as an example, although it's occurring to me that that's not quite so recent anymore. but some of our, like, more recent pop culture, like, huge stories that really take off and have a huge following, it's because the mm-hmm. archetypes are being put on display. So, for instance, using Harry Potter as an example, because it's relatively recognizable, it's not that outdated just yet, you know, you have the orphan. So even if we're not an orphan, we can all relate to the feeling of being ostracized or rejected, or maybe even feeling like we don't fit in with our family or feeling abandoned by the family and having to find our own way. You have the archetype around motherhood. So there are some of the characters that are benevolent, nurturing mothers. There's the sort of wicked stepmother archetype that I think in Harry Potter that's more the aunt, but in other stories that's like the evil stepmother. There's the archetype of the protective father or protective father figure. Even the wizard or the magician is an archetype, which is in some ways closely related to the scientist, the alchemist, or the trickster. So some of these characters come up, you know, the lovers are an archetype, the hero is an archetype, the warrior, you know, you mentioned earlier the maiden, the mother, and the crone. So these are definitely, you know, the archetype of the wise old woman who may or may not be a wicked witch, or who may be a, you know, a mysterious woman who's misunderstood and called a witch, you know, or may in fact have some shadow qualities. So mm-hmm. archetypes also have kind of a like a heroic side and then like a shadow side to them. And so those are some of the, you know, there's the mentor archetype. So we think of like the story of the Odyssey, and it's been forever since I've read it, but the goddess Athena in the Odyssey comes in as a mentor to Odysseus, and she just kind of pops into his life when he needs guidance, and it is sort of like there to show the light, to show the way, not to tell him what to do, but to kind of be like a coach, in a manner of speaking. So, you know, we look at some of our modern stories or different cultural stories from around the world, and you have these different characters, that are across, you know, across the board. And then we look at our own lives and we realize, okay, well, there's the coach or the mentor, there's the nurturing mother, there's the evil stepmother, there's the protective father, and then the distant father. There's the hero, there's the reluctant hero, there's the trickster, the lovers, you know, all these different characters. But these characters are not so unique to just one story. They show up all over the place, and they show up in our lives too, because they're part of our collective symbolism. So it's a language that no matter where we're from, what class, what demographic, what culture, we recognize these figures from our stories and from our lives.
So Carolyn Mace has some information about archetypes that there may be a higher, I guess, a higher level, a mental plane that holds the archetypes. Have you, are you familiar with that concept?
Yes, and I love her work. She is wonderful. I love her work. And Carl Jung, the psychologist, also had similar concept, similar theory. So they talk about, like, whether you call it the collective consciousness, there's this higher energetic, well, first of all, let me back up a little bit. I believe we all have a higher aspect of ourselves too. And so there's that communication with the higher self. There's like a symbolic spiritual realm that might be parallel to our physical world, but it's like we're operating on that higher plane at the same time that we're operating on the physical plane. And that's very much a symbolic existence. So, for example, when I'm doing an intuitive reading for someone, that's the world I'm tapping into. You know, people will say, well, Angela, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? And the truth is people don't want to know what I think, because what I think isn't going to help them.
You don't know anything about it. Right.
Exactly. Like, thoughts come from my ego. That's not going to help you. You don't want to know what I'm thinking. I don't want to know what I'm thinking. I want to know what these higher beings and higher energies have to say. But on that note also, because there's two sides to every coin, so just like there's the higher plane where the archetypes are there as our teachers, I also believe that's where like our spirit guides and those kinds of things are on that higher energy vibration. There is also energy vibration that forms around belief in general. And so people talk about, like, for example, thought forms, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a higher vibration. For example, if I'm very, very depressed and I have all these negative beliefs about myself, that can take on its own energy, and suddenly I've created an energetic plane full of, it's like a dumping ground for negativity. So we want to be careful about what figures we're tuning into, and sometimes people will call me for a reading or a consultation, and they're feeling sort of plagued or harassed or bombarded by an energy or an entity or something like that that is not benevolent, that is not empowering, that is kind of like, in some cases, it's like the equivalent of like space junk. You know, it's just a collection of anxious, negative, self-doubting thoughts. But like you mentioned discernment earlier, if we don't develop that discernment, we could confuse that for the energy that's guiding us. And that's when people get into some problems.
If you'll let me, I'd like to tell a short story, because I think it really illustrates that this lower plane exists. I was listening today to Cliff High. He was being interviewed on the some of the new stuff being found in Antarctica, you know, and the theories about what was going on in Antarctica. And as a side note, he said that his father did three tours in Vietnam, and so he was a field officer, and was put in charge of technology. And they had this new night vision thing that was based on red spectrum, not the green spectrum that you normally see. So they were testing this out in Vietnam. And his father was in a helicopter, and the pilot didn't have him on, but the gunner had the night vision on. And the gunner started shooting wildly outside the plane, not on the ground, but outside the plane. And so his father ran back and said, "Why are you shooting?" And he said, "Because of what I'm seeing." And he was seeing demonic energies with the red vision that were flying alongside of the plane and kind of pointing to each other and then pointing to him as if they were going to try to get him. And of course, these evidently are in other dimensions, and so shooting at them doesn't help. And in fact, some of the other helicopters they were flying around had to avoid being shot at, because, you know, he was just shooting in midair. And it turned out that many, many soldiers had almost psychotic breakdowns after they saw what they saw through these night vision glasses. So evidently, we have the technology to see this world of demonic forces. And it was tested in Vietnam, and of course they quickly decided that wasn't a good idea. And so if people ever doubt this dimension exists, that story is fascinating. So the discernment is, are you listening to the higher realm, or are you listening to this demonic realm? That's where discernment comes in.
Absolutely. That's a fascinating story. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and, you know, even if people may be on the fence about what their range of belief is in terms of positive or negative energy, but, I mean, we've probably all been in a situation where we've seen somebody, maybe not as dramatic as in warfare, but where we've seen somebody react to something that is kind of, you know, for example, how often have we seen in relationships where somebody allows the experience from the past to still be so real in their life that they're reacting to it in the present. You know, whether
right.
that's,
yeah.
you know, being suspicious of a partner or sabotaging the relationship in some way. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's easy to brush things off and say, oh, that's just all in your head. But what people don't always realize is just because something's all in your head doesn't mean it also doesn't carry an energetic weight. It does. And even when things
yeah.
are based on memory or fantasy or like replaying an old tape, we're giving that energy, and that becomes a thought form. It becomes something we create. And so if we're not careful, we'll start responding to that emotionally, physically, energetically, mentally. We're going to respond to that as if it is the mm-hmm. reality. And for all practical purposes, it becomes the reality.
Well, evidently, large numbers of soldiers in Vietnam who tested this equipment saw the same types of things.
Wow.
So evidently, that world does exist at a certain frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is, you know, the new digital cameras where you see all these orbs, which are probably
mm-hmm.
higher dimensional, you know, in a dimension where there's not even form. They're balls of light. Those balls
mm-hmm.
of light, I interviewed somebody who wrote a book on the orbs, who researched them in detail. They feel that they're seventh dimensional beings. So they're evolved enough, they don't have bodies, but they still have, you know, high spiritual vibration. And digital cameras were the first time that we were seeing these orbs. So technology may actually mm-hmm. allow us to see beyond what our normal senses can see. And there are, you know, there are talented individuals who can see into both realms. You know, certain clairvoyants see both sides of these frequency bands. So, and they're not crazy. You know, they
right.
actually
no, exactly.
see these realms, you know.
Exactly. It's actually it's interesting how technology is catching up with what people already have been able to do, but don't always get credit for being able to do. So that's
right.
as
yeah.
another, like, really fascinating angle to it. But it's my belief that we all have the ability to, I'll say, perceive the different realms.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people, you know, some people are more gravitating towards sight, and so they're going to see the colors or the shapes or the auras or that kind of thing. But even through all of our senses, I mean, I do believe that we can all touch into these different realms, and that's, to me, that's a big part of empowerment. So, like, working with the archetypes, working with the elemental energies, it's like taking, it's almost like what we consider the normal physical reality. Is kind of like having really dark sunglasses on. So yeah, you're seeing
mm-hmm.
what's there, but
right.
you're only seeing a certain amount of what's there because you're kind of, you know, the light's turned down too far. But when we tap into these other abilities, these other realms, where we align ourselves and we start working on our own intuition and we start consciously connecting with the world around us,
mm-hmm.
it's like someone suddenly starts turning up the light switch, and now we can see a more complete spectrum of what's out there. And certainly, like the case you mentioned in the Vietnam War with the folks that are trying on these glasses and seeing things that are just, like, you know, totally throwing them off balance. Certainly, there's some things you might not want to see, and some things that are not really in your best interest to see. And then there's just some things that are really, you know, not someone's business to go looking at. So I think it's important that we kind of not play with these things, but go in with an intention, with sort of a good baseline to begin with, so that we're not, you know, I guess using the vision comparison, it would be kind of like you don't want to take the sunglasses off and then, like, look up and stare right at the sun. That's not really going to serve
right.
any purpose. Just
exactly.
because it's there and you can look at it, it doesn't
yeah.
mean it's a good idea to do it. But I do believe this is something we can all do. And to me, it's an important part of that discernment and empowerment, because if we don't look at these different energies, if we don't connect with these different energies for ourselves, we're not using all of our resources. And if we're not using all of our resources, to some extent, we're going to be following a script that somebody else has written. And maybe they have good intentions and that script worked for them. But it may not be the script that works for you. But we're going to mostly follow it along because we're not paying attention to the cues and the tools and the resources that tell us, like, here's another way to address this, or here's another way to follow this path, you know?
Right. Well, the elementals, in the Alice Bailey works, the elementals are described in the Alice Bailey works. Of course, this was given by Master DK through telethought communication to Alice Bailey. She wrote 22 books. And some of them are specifically on how the material worlds are built. And when you read the books, you understand that the elementals are very, very important in the construction of physical reality. So that's how I understand the elementals in nature, is that they are the energy, the spirit energy that is responsible for the physical world. So you have elementals that, you know, are in your garden if you're growing things, elementals of the different bodies of water, elementals of the forests. And most people can't directly communicate with the elementals unless their frequency is really, really high.
Well, you know, I think that's a really good description of, you know, like kind of the basic components of all physical life. So I came to understanding working with the elements through the pagan Wiccan path. And there was a time that I was working with a Wiccan coven that was relatively eclectic, but very much into, you know, like most Wiccans are, very much into nature. And this group was very much into the elements. And I should also mention different cultures describe the elements in different ways. For instance, in traditional Chinese medicine, there are five elements that are called different things than what I came about, you know, into the system calling them. So the elements that I'm familiar with are air, fire, water, and earth. And in other systems, it might be metal, wood, you know, water, fire. In the Dagra system, they talk about, let's see, theirs are fire, water, nature, earth, and mineral. So there's different things that these elements are called, or even like in Ayurveda, the world is broken down into these core components that they describe as the doshas. And I don't know enough about Ayurveda to talk about it in detail off the top of my head, but it's just a very different, they correspond to natural elements. But the basic idea is all the same. But yeah, the whole world that we perceive of as life, as nature, as the physical world, is made up of these like core components. And the good thing about this is that there's usually very few of them, like four or five, compared to like, you know, archetypes, which there could be, you know, many more of. But the elements and the archetypes, I believe they're related. I see the elemental energies as embodying, you know, that archetypal quality. But it's just like a much more basic, like these are the core components that all other things spring from. And alchemy talks about, you know, combining the different elements for transformation and that kind of thing. And so you mentioned something very important that, you know, yes, we can actually work with these spirits. We can invite them to be with us when we're gardening. And a lot of this stuff is, it's funny because a lot of this stuff we actually do anyway. It's kind of like we go through our lives like we just walked into somebody else's house. And like we, you know, like we go in nature and it's like we're walking into somebody else's house and we're standing in their kitchen making tea and we're like sitting in their living room watching television. We're in somebody else's house anyway doing what we do. Working with the elements to me and or spirit in general in a conscious way is kind of like becoming aware that you're in somebody else's house. And so you're going to, you know, you're going to have more of a connection with them and say, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you today. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of these things we're already doing. We might already be going for walks. It's summertime. We might already be hanging out by the water. We might already be, you know, working in the garden. But it's this deeper awareness of the connection energetically between the nature spirits, the elemental spirits. And even as individuals, we have these elemental energies within ourselves. So there is the one aspect of working with the elements that is, you know, going out, connecting with them, talking to them, listening to them, inviting them to be a part of your life, you know, in a way that you're more aware of it. I should say it's more like inviting yourself to pay more attention because they're already there. And I do believe that we have to sort of align our own vibration in order to really connect with them. And I don't think it's because they don't want to connect with us. I think it's more because we're so physical, you know, like
we just
what
we don't, see, we don't know that they're there. We don't realize.
Right,
until we, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I
and
think
you know about
get the blinders on.
Yeah, Finhorn was the experiment, I think, wasn't it in England, I think, that where they really worked with the nature spirits and did amazing stuff growing things because they consciously connected.
Surprised.
Yeah, Finhorn, people can look that up. but there was just amazing stuff done with growing things when they connected with the nature spirits.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Yes. And, you know, it, so part of it is, you know, about enhancing the work we're already doing, you know, whether that's gardening or healing work that we're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if these are the core components of all of life, whether you're working with somebody in a medical office or working with plants outside in the garden, you're accessing a level of life force that is already there anyway, that's kind of working parallel to you. But now mm-hmm. it's like, okay, let's create a bridge and actually work together consciously and be a team. But I also like to encourage people to look at the elements as factors within ourselves. So it's kind of like in psychology, there's like the personality inventories, whether that's, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on this. There's a really well-known one that they use a lot in business.
MMPI.
Oh my gosh. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Where, you know, you kind of take a personality inventory and you get put into like a different mm-hmm. group, and each different group has a specific, you know, set of strengths and motivations and challenges. And that's how I see the elements in us as individuals, is that we all, you know, of course we're all made up of all of them, but one mm-hmm. might be dominant and one might be easier for us to work with, and maybe another is like really off at a distance. We don't really work with it as much. If we're challenged, we can, but it's not in our comfort zone. And to me, empowerment is also being able to say, okay, this is my autopilot way of operating. This is my nature personally. Mm-hmm. And I can connect with the elements to bring out these strengths in myself. So maybe it's my water nature, or in Queen Up, that would be the Queen of Cups. Or maybe
right.
it's my earth nature, or in Queen Up, that would be the Queen of Pentacles. And so I'm going to enhance that. But there might also be times that life challenges me to reach outside of my comfort zone and really draw on the elemental energy that I'm not the most comfortable with. And so mm-hmm. how do I align with that, and how do I bring some of those strengths into the picture?
Yeah, and Ardha Veda, really, with the doshas, if you study that, it's really all about that. Like the Vata dosha has too much fire. You know, they're thin,
right.
their metabolism's very quick, they're very quick to, you know, they go around very quickly, do things very quickly, they're quick to anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other doshas, there's an earth dosha, earth-based dosha that's, you know, overweight and doesn't move much. And, you know, so each dosha has an element attached to it. And
mm-hmm.
each dosha has or body type has a good, an optimal diet, things they should avoid. If you have too much fire, then you're prone to certain diseases. This is also
mm-hmm.
in Chinese medicine. They try to balance
yeah.
all the elements. If you have too much water, then you have other diseases. You know, it's all based on the elements in both the Chinese medicine and the Ardha Veda, which comes out of India.
Right, yeah, and it's fascinating because various cultures have this concept that, you know, even in the Dagra people in West Africa. I know astrology isn't really specifically associated at this point with one particular culture, but we can even look at astrology and see how the signs are broken down by element. And, you know, different cultures, you know, through time have also had this belief that there are like these energetic types
mm-hmm.
that need certain things in order to remain in balance. And so we want to, you know, whether it's through diet, whether it's through certain practices, and being aware of like how the personality is prone to operating. We want to create balance within these energies in order to have optimal health and to be, you know, making the most out of your personal strengths. And, you know, for some folks in certain cultures, they even take it a step further and believe that there's something karmic about like your mission
mm-hmm.
in the world based on this energy and the strengths it gives you. And I guess in some ways astrology is kind of that way too. Like there's a sort of a purpose that people under certain signs are going to be able to carry through, you know, using their strengths, using their talents, and that's part of their karma. That was all lined up for a reason, so that it would make them the ideal vehicle to do whatever it is we need to do.
And I think with astrology, you know, based on the predominant energy of the time, certain types will be stressed and other types will be not stressed. You know, so my astrologer, who I have lunch with every Sunday, so I get a very good idea of what's going on energetically, she will say, you know, because you're a double Sag, this particular alignment of planets is going to challenge your health right now, you know, because you're, you know, you have certain weaknesses and it's going to augment that. Or, you know, your health is going to be really good in this alignment of energy because it's you know, all the energetics are just, your health is going to be great. So when your health isn't going to be great, you take more precautions, you know, and try to try to be more careful with your diet or whatever, you know.
Exactly. And that's how I like to look at it. It's not that one is good or one is bad or one is better than the other. It's that, you know, as things shift, as we go through different parts of our lives and or even through different situations and different stressors, sometimes an element that is normally a strength for us can, you know, can bring about consequences. For example, people that have a lot of fiery energy. So in Queen Up, that would be the Queen of Swords. That there's nothing wrong with that energy at all. You know, some of the most ambitious, courageous, assertive, trailblazing people have a lot of fire energy. And if you have double Sagittarius, you know all about that fire energy.
I do.
It's a spark of life. Yeah,
it
makes, you know, hey, it makes you a go-getter. It helps you to get things done. But then there are also sometimes that we're called into reflection and being in receptive mode. And, you know, and that particular energy is going to make those tasks difficult. So we have to, like, step out of that fire energy and get more in touch with the water element. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's very true. But I do think that overall, since your soul does come in at a particular time based on astrology, that that moment is very important in terms of your mission. I think that astrological, you know, the time you show up on the planet, the astrological, the birth chart, so to speak, is has a lot to do with your main mission. You know, so that you have the right attributes to get that mission done. And then and then the karmic stuff is, you know, the challenges you're going to have are also kind of pre-written in that birth chart as well. You know, you can kind of look at the chart and say, yeah, that's going to be a problem. You know? And so you know that that's going to be one of your challenges.
I absolutely agree. And yes, I mean, as much as I believe in empowerment and helping us to transcend obstacles and break out of boxes so that society isn't keeping us limited, I do also believe it's not for the purpose of trying to be something you're not or be someone you aren't. You know, it's not about trying to, like, force yourself to be something different or to operate differently, but to honor your strengths, make the most out of them, keep them balanced, but also know that, hey, under certain circumstances, those things may be challenged. And, you know, even looking at astrology, we identify a lot of times with our sun sign. But when you look at the chart, all the planets are there, all the signs are there. It's just a matter of which house are they in. And so people also have the elements show up in the chart. And if, let's say, for example, if someone's a, let's say, fire keeps coming to my mind. So let's say someone's a fire sign, but they've got a ton of planets in earth signs. Well, they have a lot of earth energy for somebody with a fire sign. So that helps to balance them out. And it may be part of their challenges is to not get, you know, because earth people can be very much the opposite of that fiery energy. Earth people are slow moving, very patient. They can be ambitious, but they're going to do the slow and steady wins the race. Earth energy is usually associated with abundance, with health matters, with people that are very grounded, you know, not easily swayed. And so, again, those are all great attributes. But when someone's got a lot of that earth energy, but they're here to sort of walk through the world in a passionate, warrior-like, fiery way, sometimes those energies have to, you know, sort of compromise with each other, and that can be really challenging.
That's true. So, would you like to give your contact information at this point?
Sure. Yes, of course. So my website is intuitiveangela.com, and my email is intuitiveangela@gmail.com. I'm also on social media on Facebook. It's Angela Kaufman. You can just look me up. I'm on there and on Instagram as well. And I believe the handle is Angela Kaufman _6. That might be the case for both of them. But usually email is the best way to get directly in touch.
And you mentioned that you have a new book coming out.
It came out, launched in April. So it's out.
Okay.
It's in most major bookstores, and in a lot of independent bookstores. And it's called Queen Up, Reclaim Your Crown When Life Knocks You Down, Unleash the Power of Your Inner Tarot Queen. It's a very long title. but the book is about using the tarot queens as guideposts for personal empowerment. So sometimes people hear the title and they think, oh, that sounds interesting, but I don't know about tarot. And that's actually excellent if you don't know anything about tarot, because you don't need to know anything about it. It's introducing people to the elements that we've been talking about through the archetypal tarot queen. So each queen represents a different personality type, just like you mentioned, the MMPI, or like some people might be familiar with, like the Myers-Briggs inventory. It's looking at what's your dominant queen, but how do you also get in touch with the other queens as you need to, as you go through life changes.
And do you remember what we did the interview on before when you were on Temple of Health?
It may have been the same topic, because actually this has been a long time in the making. And back then I was self-publishing and the title was a little different. Back then it was Discover Your Inner Queen. So that may have been got a glimpse of back then. And this was an earlier version. It's evolved quite a bit since then. But it was, kind of the same concept as, aligning, the different ways that you can align with these queens, which are really aspects of our higher selves. So they're aspects of our energy.
So tell us a little bit about some of the different queens.
Sure. So I like to start with the Queen of Wands. And by the way, I will put this disclaimer out for any listeners who are tarot enthusiasts, because the one thing that gets a little confusing for some folks. So I learned tarot with sort of a pagan Wiccan mindset. And so in my work with tarot, I look at the Queen of Wands as corresponding to the element of air, and the Queen of Swords mm-hmm. corresponding to the element of fire. Now, some folks learned, through different systems that reverse those. And what I say to people is that's totally fine. Use the association that you are most familiar with, because that's what your higher self, your subconscious self, that's what your energy is already aligned with. So don't reinvent the wheel. But for me, the Queen of Wands is the element of air. So she is the mentor archetype. She's the, like the Athena, the guiding archetype. She's the universal teacher. She's also the eternal student. So this is the power that we all have of creativity. People get so mm-hmm. thrown off when I talk about the power of creativity, because they think that just because they didn't have paintings up in a cafe or something, or just because they're not, guitar rock stars or something like that, that they're not creative. But we all have creative energy, and it's the Queen of Wands who helps us to express that. She also governs communication and everything having to do with vision, philosophy, the mind, building understanding. So even, when you're on your radio show and you're communicating and getting messages out and talking to people, there's a lot of Queen of Wands energy being activated through that process. So she's the teacher. She's the mentor. She's the idealist. She's all about the power of possibilities. Mm-hmm. So when we have, new ideas, when we're brainstorming, when we're being creative, when we're working on expressing ourselves, even when we're traveling, because when we're traveling, we're discovering new things. It's the Queen of Wands energy. That's the air energy that we're working with. And each queen has, their high expressions and their imbalances. So when the Queen of Wands is a little off balance, we can get flighty, we can get forgetful, we can become anxious. We might start things and not finish them because we're just too excited about new things, but not really having the staying power to see them through. So those are signs we want to balance this energy. And then next is the Queen of Swords, and this is the warrior archetype. So she's the crusader. She is focused on justice. She's also our power of motivation. She's our power of passion. So whatever causes we feel strongly about, whatever it is that propels us into action, She gives us the power to focus in on our goals and pursue them. So she kind of takes what the Queen of Wands started in the mind, and she starts to bring it into the world through action and determination and assertiveness and confidence and all of that stuff. Now, when her energy is not balanced, we can get into power struggles, we can get burnt out, we can get resentful because we're trying so hard to be a champion for other people and they're not really meeting us halfway, and that kind of thing we want to look out for with her. And then the Queen of Cups is the nurturing mother energy. So this is the archetypal energy of love, compassion, nurturing, relationships, and her element is water. And if any is out of balance, we may get depressed. It's kind of like when people talk about being an empath, that's this queen's energy. And one of the biggest things that people say about being an empath is that you take on so much of other people's stuff that you get like bombarded and overwhelmed and like bogged down by it. So that's one of the signs you want to look for that this queen is out of balance. If you're not able to set boundaries and you're sort of molding yourself into somebody else and, you know, being too impressionable or being too receptive to their emotions and getting overwhelmed by them. And then finally, there's the Queen of Pentacles, and hers is the earth energy. Her energy is also nurturing, but it's more nurturing on a physical, practical level. So she's not so much the emotional queen that the Queen of Cups is. She's more concerned with matters of abundance. She'll help with career. She provides the foundation, stability, physical health. This is kind of like our inner businesswoman. So this is the queen that we want to work with when we need to be grounded, when we need stability, when we need resources, abundance, that kind of thing. And when her energy is out of balance, that's the earth energy.
You get sick.
So when her, we can have physical illness come up, injuries.
Right.
We can get stuck. Like people who say this is the way I do things, and you ask them why, and they say I don't know. It's just because this is the way I do things. Like that's the earth energy out of balance. Not
right.
So open to going with the flow and moving with changes.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very interesting.
Well, thank you.
So we are coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. People can email me at intuitiveangela@gmail.com. Also, I'm online. My website is intuitiveangela.com. I'm on Facebook. People can look me up. It's Angela Kaufman. And I think the actual handle for Facebook and Instagram is Angela Kaufman _ and then the number 6. Email is the best form of contact.
Great. Well, or is there any, inspirational messages you'd like to give the audience before we sign off?
Sure. I would just say for people to really practice being aware of the connection that you feel to a particular element, even if you know nothing else other than what you've heard on this show, practice being aware of what element you feel drawn to right now. Are you feeling compelled to go sit by water? Are you feeling compelled to be out in the fresh air? Are you feeling compelled to walk on the ground barefoot? Are you feeling compelled to sit by the fire? Invite those elements into your life, recognize those elements in your personality, and start cultivating a relationship with them, and you'll be amazed at what can happen.
Yeah, and you can also, stay tuned to astrological changes, because the...
Yes.
There's our energy, and then there's the energy of the universe we live in, and there really have been some interesting astrological, events and challenges lately, and being aware of the astrology as well as your particular, makeup does help you navigate so that you don't have so many down times, either emotionally or physically.
Oh, absolutely. We want to work with nature and the cosmos rather than against it.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
So we've been talking to Angela Kaufman, Empowerment Through Aligning Our Energy with Archetypal Energy and the Elements in Nature. Please check out her website and her latest book. And we will return on the 18th of August with Dr. David Lowe. And please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.